Section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
Got Stitcher? We're on it. So get it. Stitcher is an award-winning provider of news and talk radio for your mobile phone. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. TNA introduces a new cam. Fandangoing has become the new craze. And who gets a DUI? All this and much, much more in this week's Off the Mark.
This is TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
Episode of Off the Mark. We are the podcast that provides the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew. He is Aaron. Let's get right into the news. So Grandmaster Sexay gets a DUI.
Yeah, it turns out Scotty Too Hotty was the one that pulled him over, too.
Really? Scotty Too Hotty? I thought it was going to be Big Boss Man that pulled him over.
Oh, Andy, too soon.
Too soon?
Too soon. So apparently he was doing drugs and alcohol, which he admitted to. And if you know anything about a lot of stars that pass away, I'm not saying that he's a star, but a lot of times people mix prescription drugs with alcohol or, you know, illegal drugs with alcohol. And that can cause some really bad things. Honestly, it might have been the best thing to happen to him because it might help him turn his life around a little bit. It is kind of sad to see him fall this far. You know, the Too Sexy was actually a really huge tag team in WWE for the longest time. It's unfortunate that this has happened. Hopefully, it helps him out, though.
Yeah, it does. And one thing also, this is how big that got. At one point, I remember the Raw where they came out and did something and the crowd popped for him. And that was like the thing happened. And I don't remember what they said, but I want to say it was like Austin or someone came out and said, we got a tag team that I think the crowd's going to love. And then it was too cool. It came out and bam, there it was. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was really cool. And yeah, it's so sad, but... oh, well. So the WWE continues to add TNA stars to the alumni section. Who's the newest one, Aaron?
Oh, it is Mickie James, of all people. Which
really?
It's kind of surprising. You know, they've added Kurt Angle. They've added the Dudley Boys. You know, they've added a lot of people who are in TNA now. And I think it's nice. You know, you have to recognize that there is another company out there. And I know they won't do it specifically. But look, Mickie James is a really big star for your company, and she did a lot of great things. And WWE kind of, you know, turned their nose up at her, which is unfortunate. But I think that it is good, and it also will bring awareness, because what happens if Mickie James' contract runs out and she goes to WWE and is like, yeah, I wouldn't mind coming back for a year stint? You know, that way people may know her then for that.
That too, and plus, yeah, it is nice to have, like you just said, to have him come back. But I'm almost wondering if someone ran into that wrestler and said, hey, where have you been? I haven't seen you in the WWE for so long. You know, then she'd say, well, I'm at this other place called TNA Wrestling. So in a way, it may hurt the WWE in the long run, but it also may not make a difference at all.
Yeah. But I do want to say something, though. I hate to cut you off.
Yeah, go ahead.
Speaking of TNA, mm-hmm. What do you think of the ref cam?
Here, I'm going to explain if you don't know what a GoPro cam is. Basically, it's a head-mounted cam, basically the same thing that they're using. You can't do it live. That's the only problem is that unless I couldn't tell which one they had, which camera they were using, but if they're using the brand newest GoPro, the problem with that cam is that you can put it out to live TV, but I think it's like a 6 or 7 second delay from when you can download the information. It's kind of it's an interesting take, but I think the WWE did this at one point. Or maybe WCW did. Someone's done this before where they had a ref cam. And I didn't think it was... I was like, oh, that's kind of neat. But not all the time.
Yeah, I think I remember that too. I could be mistaken. It does sound like something that has been done before. I think it is neat. TNA tries out all these new things, these interesting things. If they don't work, they just don't go with it. I think that this could be interesting. You know, it could be something neat to see going forward. But like you mentioned, the delay... You know, this week's show was taped, and so they were able to do it and able to splice it in there and make it look, you know, halfway decent. The problem is it's not something that you can do every week. You can only do it every other week, which, you know, I don't know if that'll work too well.
On tape shows, yes.
On tape shows, yeah, that's what I mean. Now, Andy, WWE programming this week, We got a lot to talk about. So let's dive into the most important thing that happened this week.
Justin Gabriel wins a battle royale on main event.
Exactly. That was the biggest thing. And
didn't make a difference.
Yes. Fandangoing is a thing that I didn't know about.
Apparently it is a thing. And I don't know who you think about this. Do you think the New York fans? I mean, that's the only thing I can't figure out. Who do you think for actually coming up with this? Because I think, you know, like last year's WrestleMania, the Yes started. That took, and then Cena said one thing, and then it took off. Daniel Bryan, was already becoming a superstar, but that put him over even more. And, of course, now the No's. They started the Fandangoing thing. Do we think them and the fact that Cena on that after Raw, after WrestleMania, continued it? Is he the one to thank for it, or is it just the fans?
It's one of those things that happens organically where people just start doing something. They get really involved in it. And his song is kind of fun to sing along to. It's one of those that gets stuck in your head. It does. I think that this is something that is really great for Justin Curtis, for his character. The only thing that really worries me, though, is that they're going to push this down our throats to the point that we can't stand it anymore. And I actually said before, I like the Fandango character. Fandango, I should say. I think that it is an interesting character. It's one of those that you can have a lot of fun with it. But if you Ryback this, then you're not going to do yourself any favors. You need to have this build up over time. You know, you could have a King of the Ring where he could potentially win or, you know, get close enough to win it so that way people recognize him a little bit more. You have him, involved in a fatal four-way for number one contendership for the IC title or the U.S. title. You do things like that, and it makes it a little more interesting. And you can watch him build up, you know, over time and then finally, eventually win that title. You know, I don't know which title. It doesn't matter. But you do that. The problem I think is going to happen is we're going to see like next week on Raw, he's going to take on Kofi Kingston and take his brand new U.S. title away from him. You know, we might see something like that, but which kind of moves on to an interesting point, Andy. Kofi wins the U.S. title.
Yeah, he won it. And that
remember the buildup for it?
There was no buildup. First off, Antonio Cesaro got his name right the first time. He had the title and started to do stuff with it, and it's almost like the WWE said, stop doing that with the title. We'll make you a superstar. Instead, they didn't. I don't get that.
Oh, you've had the title for 230 plus days?
Yeah.
Oh, we didn't realize that. You know what? That's way too long. Let us take that off your hands for you, okay? Oh, and by the way, the match you're going to have, yeah, it's just going to be a random match. It's not even going to be a real match where, hey, we're going to have a number one contendership, or hey, you and Kofi have had problems over the past month. No, this is just going to be you randomly dropping the title to some random person, and then you're probably not going to get a shot back to get the title. So
yeah, it's pretty much sounds about right. That sounds
makes total
like,
sense.
It sounds like WWE programming to me. I mean, that's pretty much what it was. It's just like, hey, Kofi, we're going to make you the U.S. champion. Sweet. How long do I get the title? Until we decide to give it to Fandango. Really? That's what's going to happen.
You know what they should have done here, if I'm writing this? Kofi and Antonio have some problems for the next month, leading to Extreme Rules or even right before the pay-per-view. Do this like a week or two before the pay-per-view. And then have a triple threat match where Kofi pins somebody else. He pins a third person, and that's how he wins the U.S. title. So Antonio doesn't look bad. Instead, he's like, whoa, what the heck? I'm going to challenge you now at the pay-per-view, one-on-one. Kofi retains. Antonio goes on to the IC title. He goes on to the World Heavyweight, something like that. That would make for a more interesting storyline and actually an arc as opposed to what they're doing right now. But, Andy,
you know what they could have done, actually? You know what they could have done? And this probably would have been better. Week before the pay-per-view on Raw, you have Kofi beat Cesaro. Cesaro, and you make it something building up, like you were saying. Kofi beats Cesaro and then demands, right after that segment's over with, demands he wants a rematch at Extreme Rules. Mm-hmm. And especially if you give them, like, that'd be the 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time slot. The first, you know, break. that you would have the first, you know, from going from 8 to 9, have it right at that 9 time slot. And then they can talk about it, which I thought would be kind of cool. But yeah, you're right. We could talk forever about it. Like Ryback turning heel, or did he turn heel, or is he just tweening? I don't get this, dude. What is he going to be heel? Is he just taking on John Cena? I don't get it.
Here's the problem that they made. Ryback attacking Cena at the crowd last week, people cheered. And so if I'm a casual fan watching this, I'm going, wow, they must really not like Cena. And Ryback must be like a really big face. And then I watch it this week, I'm going, wait, I'm really confused. Is Ryback a good guy or a bad guy? Are they actually giving him a character? Are they actually giving him a little bit of depth, making him more of a shade of gray than, you know, just a black or a white? You know, what are they doing with him? The only thing I didn't like is that he had that little monologue thing that he did, which was a little out of place, but I understand why they did it, because he's not that great on the mic. So you have him backstage, you have him shoot this little promo thing that he can redo over and over again. But then they had this segment to end the show on Raw, and it was a little weird. The only thing that I was kind of confused about, too, is, you know, Cena was sitting there talking all the smack to him, and Ryback has been built up as this monster, yet Ryback backs down, and they didn't even brawl or anything like that. Maybe Cena happens to get the upper hand that time, and then Ryback goes, no, I'm going to wait. And said he just turned around and left. I don't know. I didn't get that quite, but and maybe you understood it a little bit better than I did.
Well, I understood the fact that they cut early to the Shield about, you know, at the very end of the show, they cut to the Shield. So, you know, the Shield's going to appear now, which was, I think, the dumbest move they could have, show Seth Rollins adjusting his boots and stuff. And then I knew that was going to happen. So to me, I knew it was going to happen in this segment. I knew that Ryback was going to walk out, because then the Shield will come in and he would allow them to beat Cena up. That to me, that the fact that even though they went to that camera for just a split second, it was long enough for me to say, oh, great, this is what's going to happen. So to me, I didn't care about this segment because of that. It was just like, oh, I knew that was going to happen now. So to me, the segment was spoiled because of one stupid thing. So Ryback, he's a little gray. That's all I got to say about him, though. But
I hope that's the case. I hope that there's a lot of depth to his character.
Yeah. One thing to point out also is CM Punk actually has a tearful goodbye. And at first I was like, oh, why is he doing this? The fact that all the problems he's had with the WWE recently, it's actually kind of makes sense. He's just going to go away for probably the next 3 months, if not 4 months, maybe come back SummerSlam, somewhere around there. And he's going to heal up because he might be more banged up than what has been led on. I'm almost wondering if something happened that he may be done. I've been questioning that for a while.
What's he going to do? He's going to go to TNA?
No. I'm not saying done, but I mean like forced to be done. Like if there's something with his elbow injury, because he's had that pad on there forever. And that wouldn't surprise me if it got to that point where he could lose movement in that, you know, his right elbow. Yeah, I think it was right.
I know
that's a conspiracy theory thing, but I'm almost wondering if that has something to do with it. Maybe because, or maybe he's just a decent actor. That's what I can't figure out. Because like The Miz, if The Miz did something like this, I'm like, he's acting because he's done it. But I've never seen CM Punk act, so I can't tell you.
I don't know. I don't think that he's done. I think that, you know, he's going to be gone for a while. He's going to come back at the Chicago show, maybe even be announced before it. But I think that he might come back at it. He might have not necessarily a match with Cena, but he might, you know, he might attack him afterwards. You know, he might do something. The crowd will erupt, go crazy, you know, make a save or something like that. That's what my prediction would be. I think having him take 2 months off, 3 months off will be a really good thing for him. He didn't wrestle last week. He didn't really wrestle this week. He just came out and gave a speech and left. So he hasn't wrestled since WrestleMania. And I think that that's a good thing. I think it's good to give your people time off, especially someone who's a workhorse. And CM Punk, they need to make sure that he is healthy. So give him 3 months off. Have him do this, you know, every like, you know, year and a half or so. give him some time off.
Yeah, like have the guy go for like 14 months, give him like 4 months off, and then it's almost like a season for the person. Or even if you had, see, that's why I think wrestlers, this is a broader thing. I think only wrestlers should be in the public eye for 8 months out of the year, and that's it. Doesn't matter how you stagger it, but you can have Santino go away for 2 months and then come back, and it's going to huge pop. Same thing. Give him 2 months off, come back. Same thing with, I think also, the only person you can't do with that with right now is Cena. So, but
yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
So Sheamus and Orton are taking on Big Show and Mark Henry on SmackDown?
Yeah. Well, like, is this going to lead to singles matches with these guys?
Yeah, I'm guessing Orton's going to take on Show and Sheamus will take on Henry.
Yeah.
I think we've actually seen both those matches before, so it doesn't really matter.
Is this, like, let's say that these are pay-per-view matches, too. Do you want to see Orton, Show, Sheamus, Henry? Is that going to, you know, be like, oh, man, here's my money. I'm throwing it at the screen right now. Please, I need to see more Sheamus and Mark Henry.
No.
That's what I need to see.
No, this and isn't happening. And on top
of it, same show, Orton, Big Show.
Exactly. That's not going to put the you know, it's not going to put the money in the seats or the people in the seats or the butts in the money, whatever you want to call it. It's not going to do it. They're just doing this because they don't know what to do. I seriously think that they don't know what they're doing next week. I bet you that come Sunday, that's when the writers are like, you know, we should probably do a show. And this, they're also overseas right now, too, on this long 2 week tour right after WrestleMania, by the way, messed up. So they're on this long tour and they probably don't know exactly what's happening. And to prove this point, just check out house shows over the last few weeks. You know, I should say before WrestleMania, it was the same outcome for every match, including the finish. It's like they don't know what's going on. You can't be a little bit more creative. Okay. You know, I can go in depth with that, but the point is this is not going to work.
Well, Andy, speaking of butts and money, let's move on to our sponsor.
All right, HostGator, are you a blogger or podcaster? You're just not happy with your web hosting? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installed with a free site builder, and hands down the best control panel out there. Stop by it today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And make sure you use coupon code OFFTHEMARK, and you're going to save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com, take a bite of your web hosting costs. Hey, did you not get enough WrestleMania gear while you're actually at the show or while you watch the pay-per-view? Guess what? They got a huge sale going on right now at WWEShop.com. Just go to Section 86 Off the Mark page, and you'll see a banner at the top. Just click on that. Use WWE Save as your coupon code, and you're going to save a buttload of money. Also, make sure you check out HighSpots.com. So let's move on to Impact Wrestling this week. So Samoa Joe is back. He saved Magnus.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Well, because they're fighting the Aces and Eights, and it's nice to see Samoa Joe finally wrestling. It's Samoa Joe should be on every week. He should be on three out of four TV tapings, plain and simple. He really should.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't like the fact that they have him on every other week. I think that he's a main event attraction. He's somebody that I would pay to see. And if you told me that TNA was going to be out here in Seattle – and that Samoa Joe was going to be there, and it cost money to get your picture taken with him or to get his autograph. Absolutely, he's got my money. Absolutely. He is an attraction. I don't understand why he's not there that often. The other thing I don't really understand is that him and Magnus were a tag team, and then they were fighting, and now they're friends again. And so it's one of those kind of weird situations where I don't know if they just think that we're stupid or if they're going to address this or what. But I don't know. It's just kind of weird.
It's something that they'll have to address. I mean, but a lot of people think wrestling fans are stupid and they don't know stuff.
TNA has done a little bit better job, though, I think, because they have addressed certain things. They're, don't get me wrong, TV title, but they have addressed, you know, certain things like Bully Ray, you know, his whole Aces and Eights thing. I was thinking, yeah, he was attacked by the Aces and Eights. How are you going to, you know, explain that? And they actually explained it. So good for them. Good for them. Eddie, your boy, Kid Cash Kenny King, retained the X Division title. What'd you think?
Hey, he retained it. That's all that matters. You know, Kenny King retains it. Of course, with the special ref cam, you know, he retained it. You know, that's the one thing. Like, it's great that they have these matches, but in a way, I almost wish they were a little bit better. Especially,
they need one X Division match every single week, and I don't understand why they're doing this also every other week. The gut check stuff, look, I understand gut check is interesting, but it should be once every 2 to 3 months. That's a lot of TV time you're taking up. That's 15 minutes or so of gut check time, because you're going to have the match, and then you're going to have a segment with them talking about the match and talking about whether or not they're going to hire the person. They have them come out to the ring. You're taking up a ton of TV time. And when you think about it, that's an X Division match that you could have that really excites the crowd. You know, you have that, like, you have the opening thing where you have the main event guy come out and make a speech. Then you have an X Division match. Keeps the crowd excited. You know, that's not that hard to do. Eliminate some of the gut check stuff. So, but Andy, I want to move on to another thing.
That you're wrong?
I was wrong. I said last week, Andy, there's no way that AJ and James Storm are going to wrestle on free TV. There's no way. That's not going to happen. They're going to hold it till the pay-per-view. Yeah, they did it on free TV.
Yes, they did.
Yeah.
Hey, weird question. Whatever happened to the Wildcat?
What is it? Is it Braden Walker? Is that who it is?
No.
Oh, Chris Harris.
Chris Harris.
Same person. Same person. Yeah. I don't know. He came back for a one-off.
The only reason I was asking that is because I was watching Explosion last night, and he was on it, and along with Christian Cage, you know, the C's. So the I was C's? Like, oh, interesting. I was like, wow, a WWE wrestler, and then a guy I haven't seen in forever.
Yeah.
Let's get back to the fact that this is on free TV. This is amazing that they actually put it on free TV. You know, I'm not surprised, because you need to have, I think, a pay-per-view match on a live show. You should have one pay-per-view match every time. So you have 26 pay-per-view matches on the tape show. I don't know if you'd want to do that, or if you want to reverse it where the tape show always had a pay-per-view quality match, but the first show didn't.
If I'm running TNA, the live shows are pay-per-view type matches. You know, Bully Ray taking on Jeff Hardy in a ladder match. Yeah, that is a pay-per-view quality show. AJ Styles versus James Storm, pay-per-view quality match. And I would have that on all the live events. And then the taped ones, I would do the tag matches. You know, you have AJ and Bully taking on Jeff Hardy and James Storm. Yeah, obviously you wouldn't do those guys, but I'm just, you know, giving an example. And you would just have a simple tag, you know, six-man, you know, something like that, triple threat even. Just do those types of matches because they're kind of filler and you're not really expecting a whole lot from them, but they have to be in there. So I'm not understanding why this was free. And they're going to probably have it at the pay-per-view too. So it's kind of, well, I already saw this. Why would I want to pay to see it again?
They're going to have to put a stipulation at the pay-per-view. Maybe make it a steel cage, make it something like that. That's what's going to end up, you know, that's what's going to end up happening. So let's talk about the Bully Ray and Triple H dynamic.
You mean Hollywood has hemorrhoids? Hollywood,
yes.
Hulk Hogan?
Yes.
Okay, that's...
I'm glad you remember that really, really old reference to a Thunder that we went to that our cousin Mike made a sign for. Yes, so the whole thing with Hulk Hogan and Bully Ray, I just don't... I think there's got to a point where I don't care at all about this. I don't care about Bully Ray and Hulk Hogan anymore. I want to see what they're going to do with Aces and Eights. That's what I care about right now. What are they going to do?
And I actually agree with you on that. I think that Aces and Eights is a little more interesting than the Bully Ray Hulk Hogan thing that's going on. Bully Ray and Hogan, if this was going to end, I don't know, at the pay-per-view, you know, their little feud that they have going on, I'd be like, okay, I'm interested to see. But I know that this Bully and Hogan are probably going to be feuding, you know, in some way, shape, or form for the next 6 months. And I'm kind of, I don't know, I don't want to see that. I'm not really interested in hearing about, you know, Bully screwing Brooke and screwing Hulk. You know, I'm not interested in that. It's not a compelling enough storyline. I think the turn when he turned heel, that was really cool. I think some of the stuff they did leading up to it and right afterwards is really cool too. But finish the Hulk Hogan thing and then get him out of the picture. You know, he doesn't need to be a part of the main event. Have him be that authority figure, have him be the GM, but don't have him be the focus of Impact. He is not somebody who should be the focus.
Well, that's the other problem, though. I mean, he's the big guy. You need to develop someone else. You need to develop, bring someone in that's going to make the divorce final. They could have that at a pay-per-view. They could have it at one of the big shows, hopefully the one in Peoria that I'll be going to. I just would like to have some match where that's on the line, where you have that, like, you can almost have it as a ladder match, like the divorce contract or whatever that Bully Ray signed.
Oh,
and then
my,
have it.
No.
Yes, dude.
Is this Vince Russo writing
yes,
it?
Yes, yes. And then you
Vince?
Have it. No, no. And then you have it on a pole. And then on one, and then the thing is, you have four pinatas. All right. And inside each pinata is maybe that contract, which you don't know which one it is.
One has Judy Bagwell, yes. And the other has Vince Russo, and the fourth one is David Arquette.
Exactly. Right?
That's what's in the pinata. It'll be big pinatas.
That's what they're all going to do.
That's enough of that. Let's talk about our weekly topic. We've had these for a little while now, but the PWI Pro Wrestling Illustrated 2013 Wrestling Almanac.
Yes, and you know, we talk about this every year. They did not give us any free for this year. Boo. But anyways, the nice part about these books, I mean, you can go through a lot of stuff. I mean, they have every pay-per-view that's happened. Every pay-per-view is in this book. You're talking, let's see, WWE, you got TNA. WWE ones are big. I mean, we're talking, it goes all the way back to WrestleMania 1. That's the first one.
And obviously, it keeps getting bigger and bigger because it has all those facts.
It also has the Ring of Honor title, the TNA titles, all that. It tells you the history on them, too.
Now, Andy, let's talk about the 10 biggest news stories of 2012.
Yes. What is number one, Aaron?
WrestleMania 28 is a financial and critical success. That's the top story, which, you know, in a way, I would kind of agree with that. It was a very... big story for them, and they made a lot of money off of it, which is one of the reasons why we saw Rock Cena too, because it was so big. Now, my question to you, Andy, is: do you think that was the biggest story of the year in wrestling?
Actually, no. What they have for number two, the year of Punk, I actually think that might be what actually is the biggest story of 2012, because I mean the fact that he held the title for a full year, which hasn't happened in. Gosh, who knows how long? It's been a long time since that's happened, and he did it. And especially in this day and age, where there's more TV shows, there's more events. I mean, that's what it really is. There's more events going on, and he held it the entire time.
Yeah, and you know, he said something about, you know, I'm the longest, not just in the modern era, but of all time, because if I wrestled on Bruno's day, then I would have held the title a lot longer, because Bruno, you know, granted, you know, obviously a Hall of Famer and very important for wrestling, but he wrestled typically once a month, and Punk wrestled, you know, multiple times a week. So, you know, you look at the days and realistically, if you inflate them, Punk has, you know, he would be up there. He really would. But I would agree that the year of Punk was probably one of the biggest. I would, you know, I could definitely swap those, but the number three, which is something that, you know, weekly topic wise, we've talked about, more WWE programming and fewer viewers.
Yeah, and this is true. I mean, no matter how you look at it, in the top three, this has to be it. You add a show on ION TV, which is still, I consider, an up-and-coming network, and their biggest rated show is Main Event, if that tells you anything. Same thing with Sci-Fi, but not USA. Raw is not the number one show in USA, which I thought was really interesting.
I didn't know I had ION. I had said on this program once before, I don't get ION, because I didn't know I did, because I had no idea what the heck ION was. And then I found out, like, my TiVo recommended I watch Main Event, and I recommended that I'd shoot myself in the head. But, you know, that's beside the point. But they added, Andy, 2.5 hours of programming. 2.5.
That's right. They did. That's a lot of programming to go through. As a casual fan, that's a lot of programming to go through, and it's almost like there's so much WWE TV, you almost need a week, you know, like an hour show that breaks down what happened on WWE this week and cut it down, because Main Event is basically three matches this week, and that's it. Then it's over with, and the rest is highlights from Raw, and then SmackDown basically is an hour show now with and this depends on where you live, too, because the feed I keep getting, I don't see SmackDown all the way through. They have like a Legends match halfway through the show, which I don't get. I just don't get that part of it. And then they also do the Raw recap, Well, you could just do that show pretty much for an hour anymore.
Yeah, SmackDown is typically, without commercials, SmackDown is an hour and a half. And then it's half of that is literally recap from Raw. And the other hour then is, you know, some SmackDown related stuff. But we could go on for a long time about that. Andy, number four, Jerry Lawler suffers a heart attack on live TV, which we talked about, you know, in one of our weekly topics. Obviously was huge, huge news for 2012. Five, the emergence of Ryback and AJ.
Yes.
They actually named AJ. I was kind of surprised about this. And you know, good for them. I would actually have talked about Ziggler also. I think that Ziggler really came out in full force this past year. He'll probably, you know, for 2013, they'll probably talk about him. Number six, WWE returns of Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman. I think that one is actually really huge news, too. Brock Lesnar had a really big impact on WWE last year. Andy, number seven, I think that you're probably going to be most interested in this. Raw 1000 is a star-studded affair.
Yes. So Raw 1000 happened. You know, that's number seven that they had. And yeah, you know, a friend of the show, Doug Hahn, was on. Actually went to there. That was at the Sky Trade Center in St. Louis. And that's where he went. Yeah, it was a pretty big deal. 1,000 Raws. That's 1,000 live I should say 1,000 episodic shows a week, which is, you know, for as long as it's been gone, I mean, that's a big deal. The other one that also I shouldn't say I didn't care, but I was like, okay, this to me isn't a top 10 story, but they gave 10 bells for Strongbow and Bastion and also Roberts. And to me, yeah, okay, they were old wrestlers, but to me, they didn't really do as much. I mean, Strongbow did, but that's about it. But
and I agree. I think that I hate to say it, but it's not like they were Randy Savage. You know, it wasn't a huge name, and they died old. That's the other thing too. I hate to say it, but they died old, which is actually kind of a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff
Hardy comes back as number nine, which I thought was really cool. And they talk about, you know, him coming back, and I was pretty, you know, that is a big story. And then of course the number 10, the Ric Flair, is the center of the WWE TNA controversy, which actually I think should have been a higher number story because of the fact that that was a weird thing, because WWE is like, here you go. We don't have what you say that we have. And yeah, it was just one of those weird situations that happened earlier last year.
In my opinion, one of the stories I would have put in there probably at number four is WWE reject Austin Aries wins TNA world title.
That's actually a better one. Great. Yeah, this is a good one. I'm surprised they didn't have that.
Because Austin Aries was rejected as not being good enough, not being tall enough, and they rejected him. So he went to TNA, where he won the X Division Championship from Spanky and was catapulted. The fans loved him, and he tried to be a heel. And he did a lot of great heelish things, but the people liked him as a face. Mm-hmm. And so they turned him face. He beats Bobby Roode for the TNA title at Destination X. That was huge. And I remember watching that live and thinking, there's no way he's winning. There's no way he's going to come up short, just like Jeff Hardy against Undertaker. And he wins. And I was amazed that they actually gave him the title to lose to Jeff Hardy, but they still gave him the title. He's going to go down in the record books as holding that. So in my opinion, look, the first three, I think you could put them in any order. But number four, Jerry Lawler, don't get me wrong, that's a big deal. But you move that back. Austin Aries is a really, really big deal, in my opinion.
Yes, I agree. The other thing also to point out in the book is they actually have the top 50 top 50 pro wrestlers. And of course,
top 500.
I'm sorry, top 500, my bad. And of course, you know, top five, it goes from Sheamus, Daniel Bryan, John Cena, to Bobby Roode, to CM Punk, which I thought was actually an interesting list. And then they also have the top 50 for the females. And of course, I'm not sure about Jessica Havoc. Sarah Del Rey, I know of. Cheerleader Melissa, Beth Phoenix, and then Gail Kim is the number one. Which I thought was pretty interesting. They just go over that, and also they give you any stats about the wrestlers, how long they've been pro, their height and weight, where they're built from, stuff like that. Then, of course, the title histories and anything you want to know about any pay-per-view as well. What's that?
And they also have their achievement awards. So they have, you know, most popular wrestler, most hated, things like that. You know, of course, we do a similar one for our end of year review. But yeah, I always like getting these. These are really fun to look at. Great bathroom material. You know, these are always fun to take a look at. But yeah, if you have a chance to pick up the PWII Wrestling Almanac, definitely do so.
Yes, definitely. So that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at OffTheMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank all of our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.